Hey, everybody, we are here. Thank you for joining me today. Dave Therrien, New Hope Radio. Going to begin a mini-series today, which I think you're going to find it helpful to your Christian walk. I know I did. And if there's one thing we want to do when we study God's Word, we want to get all the help we can when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. So that's what we're going to do this week. I don't know about you, but I know as I go through the year, I get a little off kilter, if you know what I mean. I lose my balance. And I want to get back to a balanced life in all four areas of life, you know, like spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, even physically. I want to be balanced in all four areas. How about you? You know, we don't want to be overdone in one area and underdone in another area. Anything that's balanced moves smoothly and swiftly. And I think we kind of want that, don't we? We want to move smoothly. Oh, yeah. And sometimes swiftly. So this new series we're going to begin today, it's going to help us to get that balanced relationship with God. And I'm sure you'd agree that whatever you set out to do, you want it to matter. In other words, you want it to count, right? You don't want what you do to be a total waste or a total loss or vain, but you want it to produce something. So any program that you might join, any activity, any endeavor, you put an investment into it. And you put that investment, whether it's time, effort, money, right? You want to have a positive outcome. That's why we do it. We put money in the bank because we want a positive outcome. We get an education because we want a positive outcome. We go to church and learn the Word of God. We want a positive outcome. With all of these things that we do, we eat right, maybe exercise a little bit, looking for that positive outcome. So we're going to talk about having a positive outcome in this mini-series, which means we're going to be balanced in our relationship with God. And Jesus gives us four ways that we can be balanced in our relationship with God. In our heart, in our soul, in our mind, and in our strength. Okay? And we find the basis for this in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Here's what Jesus said. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Isn't that something? He didn't say, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No, like all of it. Every part of you. Now, this verse is sandwiched between two very important other scriptures. In verse 29, he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then in verse 31, he said, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there's the Oreo cookie. All right? The first cookie, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The cream in the middle, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the cookie on the other end, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good cookie, right? Everybody loves Oreo cookies. And there's one for you right there. Now, why did Jesus say what he said? He said it in response to a young man's question. And the question was, what commandment is the greatest of all? Now, for our purposes, we're going to speak about having a balanced life toward God from the heart. That's our topic today. From the heart. Okay? Next time it'll be from the soul. So, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Well, let's set up the background to the story as to why Jesus said what he said. Back in verse 28, one of the scribes came and they heard them arguing or discussing, and recognizing that Jesus answered them well, they asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Now, back in those days, there was a division in Judaism between the scribes, who were like the lawyers, and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a religious sect as well, and they had their own kind of beliefs about God. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They rejected most of the Old Testament, except the writings of Moses. The scribes accepted the oral law. The Sadducees did not. The embracing of the oral law contributed to the expansion of the law into, get this, hundreds of more laws. So, you know, the lawyers, right? Here's what they do. They took that which was simple and they complicated it. Did you ever try to read a legal document? Forget about it. You need a lawyer to translate it because he's the guy that wrote it. So because of this, another tendency was to break down the law into very simple statements where it could be understood. There was a rabbi called Rabbi Samlai, and he taught that Moses received 613 precepts on Mount Sinai, one for each day of the year. Actually, that would be two for each day, wouldn't it? Because it'd be like 613. Wow. David reduced the 613 to 11 in Psalm 15. He said, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change." And then David said, "He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken." So David, if you read those slowly, you can number them. There's 15 precepts there. Now Isaiah, he reduced them to 6. In Isaiah 33:5, "He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe, he who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil, he shall dwell on the heights." So those are all good qualities that Isaiah preached. Then Micah comes on the scene. He reduced them to 3 in Micah 6:8. "O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" I like that. It's 3. Very simple. But wait a minute. Habakkuk, he comes on the scene and he reduces them to 1. And Habakkuk 2:4. And here it is. "The just shall live by faith." Bango. There it is. You do that, you're going to do everything else. The point is, we don't need to complicate the Christian life. And I think even today, 2,000 years later, after the church began, we have a tendency as human beings to complicate the Christian life. And we come up with all kinds of legalistic rules and standards and do's and don'ts and taboos, which are not biblically based. We make doctrines out of gray areas, which is not biblically based. So here comes the scribe, right? "Okay, Jesus, what do you say then is the great commandment?" Right? We got from 615 or 600 and something, 35 to 15 to 3 to 1. Jesus, we're confused. What do you say is the great commandment? What must we do to be pleasing to God? And here he comes. "Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord. This is called a Shema. A Shema is a command to hear. The synagogue service began with a Shema, taken from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And what does that mean? It is the declaration that God is the only God, the foundation of Jewish monotheism. Remember, Israel was surrounded by nations that were polytheistic. Every other nation had many, many gods. All of them. Shows you the work of the devil, doesn't it? And here comes Israel, and they kind of were under the suspicion of all the other nations because they only had one. Huh. They only had one God. And everybody's like, oh man, you guys are way off. You guys are way off kilter. Yeah, there's more than one God. They had a God for everything. They had gods for the seasons. They had gods for growing and for planting. They had gods for marriage. They had gods for this, gods for that. You name it. Here a God, there a God, everywhere a God, God. The Jews come on the scene. No, there's only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's it. So, the point is, loving God begins with acknowledging that He is the one true God. And don't forget the word one. So, Jesus begins with having a love for God. You want to know what the great commandments are? Number one, love God. And at this point, every Jew would agree. Yeah, that's right, Jesus. Yeah, we all love God. But then He added something. The second part was radical to the ancient Jew. He said, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now they're like, wait a minute, Jesus. We know what Moses said in Leviticus 19. Here's what He said in verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. But wait a minute. It talks about your people, the Jews. This has to do with a man's fellow Jew. His neighbor was a fellow Jew. And so in a sense, you were commanded to love your fellow Jews, but it was permissible to hate the Gentiles. That's how they interpreted it. So we love each other, but we hate the Gentiles. We hate the non-people of God. And we've got to be careful. Because even today, there are some people that think it's permissible to like certain types of people and dislike other types of people. Isn't that true? Do you ever find yourself as a believer disliking a certain type of people? Not that you dislike them personally, but you don't like maybe their belief system or what they stand for. Maybe you don't like them because they believe in a different God. Or maybe you don't like them because they have a different, oh, here it comes now, sexual orientation. Or maybe you don't like them because they hold this belief or that belief. You know what? Jesus took an old law and He filled it with a new meaning. And He did it when He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And maybe this will break some of us out of our boxes. And you know, there are even Christians that dislike Christians that are different. You know that? They're different from us, so we don't like them. That's real heresy, let me tell you. You can't get much more heretical than that when you dislike other members of the body of Christ. You stand before God on that one. But what Jesus did, He combined loving God with loving all people. Not just people you like, or not just people like you, or people that like you, but all people. Now, can you see the ancient Jew? What? Love all people? That's ridiculous, Jesus. No, Moses said we can love our people. He never said anything about loving not our people, Gentiles, people that are different. He never said that. Well, Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You want to love God? Then you must love people. because this is loving God with all of your heart. Not some of your heart, not a little piece of my heart, like Janis Joplin sang, but all of your heart. See, it's easy to let worship become a matter of the church building or program or something inanimate. Okay? How many people, they look at their church and they say, that's my Christianity. Or they're in a Bible study or they're in a program, but it's inanimate. It's not life. It's a building. It's a book. It's a curriculum. It's something else. It's about lives. We have to realize the Christian life is about lives, other people's lives, all people's lives. So Jesus tells this story, right? We call it the Good Samaritan. They probably called it the guy left on the side of the road, robbed and half dead. I don't know what they called it. So in the story, the priest and the Levite, they pass by this wounded guy. And they just looked at him, and they kept on going. Probably because they were eager to get on with the routine of life, the ritual that established their religious lives, okay? But you know what? In 1 Samuel 15:22, you know what Samuel said? Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And what's he saying? That ritual and religiosity are not nearly as important to God as helping and loving people. Because it's about people. Because Jesus died for, here it comes, all people. Yes, he died for the one that's struggling with their sexual identity. He died for the one that's struggling with their feelings of unworthiness. He died for the one that's arrogant, prideful, and selfish, and doesn't care about people. He died for that one too. He died for all people. You know why? Because he made it possible for all those people that are lost to be saved. That's why. Yeah, they're like, you know why they're like that? Because they're lost. But Jesus made it possible for them to be saved, should they choose. And that's what we have to remember. We cannot dislike what God likes. Don't hate what God loves. Jesus died for the sins of the world. When the Roman soldiers were at the foot of the cross, gambling for his garments, Jesus didn't cop an attitude and turn those guys into bread. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's true. They didn't know what they were doing. They were deceived. Oh, Satan deceives the whole world, doesn't he? He certainly does. And how do you know if you're deceived? Well, usually you don't know. But what you can look for is the fact that you're turning away from the ways of God, from the heart of God. Legalism is a deception. Okay? Separatism is a deception. Okay? Judging is a deception. Okay? It's outside of the heart of God. Love is from the heart of God. That's what we have to remember. Oh, I want to be with God. Then I got to love like God. Okay? Loving God from the heart means loving what God loves. And what does God love? Oh, God so loved the whole world. How many people in the world? Everyone. How do I know? Because he sent his only begotten son. Why'd he do that? That those that believe would never perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, but those that believe, what if they're bad people? Exactly. That's exactly who Jesus died for. Because he wants to give people hope. John said in 1 John 3:17, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you don't meet the need of someone that's right in front of you, How is God's love living in you? That's what John is asking. He wants to know that. He said, little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. I like that. Deed and truth. What is deed? Deed is what we do. Truth is why we do it. Why do we do it? Because it's the word of God. It's the commands of God. And you know, we grow and we abide in the commands of God. Oh, here it comes. Even the ones we don't like. There's some commands of God. I don't like them. I'm like, God, I don't like that command. Don't make me do it. But if you love God, you do the things that he says. And sometimes it gets a little sticky, doesn't it? God, I don't want to forgive that one. You know what they did to me? You know what they said to me? I don't want to forgive that one. God says, you want to love me? You got to forgive them. Wow. Talk about making the Christian life real. John said in 1 John 4:7, beloved, he's talking to believers here, let us love one another. For love is from God. Here it comes now. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So think about it. Your love toward people is a demonstration that either you do or you do not know God. Wow. Wow. Yeah, but I walked down the aisle and said the prayer. No. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Are you loving? That's the question. Not did you say the prayer. Are you loving? Sometimes these guys on TV, they make it too easy, you know? Just believe in Jesus and we believe you got born again. Just say this prayer. That's a deception. That's a deception. Yes, faith saves, that's for sure. But that faith has to be real. It's not just a convenient acknowledgement without a heart renewal. Because the Holy Spirit renews our heart when we become born again. Verse 8, John said, the one who does not love does not know God. Wow. But God is love. See, he's not talking about doing good things. He's talking about love. You can do a lot of good things, but if you don't love, you know what Jesus will say when he sees you? I never knew you. Depart from me, worker of iniquity. Because you never lived in love. That's the evidence of your salvation. Living in love. This commandment, John said, think about it. Commandment, not suggestion. Commandment. This commandment we have from God, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And now John is talking about people in the church. But wait a minute. When Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he was talking about people outside of the church. The Samaritan was a Gentile, and he loved a poor Jewish guy that was hurting big time. And he came alongside and helped him and nursed him back to life. That's what he did. See, that's when God is alive inside of you. That's loving God with all your heart. So let's start fresh. Let's start fresh by being balanced in our love toward God from our hearts. And what does it mean to be balanced? To have the same love for people that Christ has. The same love. See, God's love is not selective. Yes, God loves people that are far from him right now. Matter of fact, when he died, most people were far from him. If not all, most people were. God loves people of different religions, hoping they'll come to the truth. God loves people with problems, mental problems, social problems, financial problems, relationship problems, you name it. God loves them all. He died for everyone to bring them to a place of healing, of restoration, of hope, of eternal life. And if we don't love, you know what happens? We get in the way. Oh, we get in the way of God. I don't want to get in the way of God. Oh, no. I don't want to hinder the work of God in someone's life. When God is trying to save someone and restore them back and give them his life, and we get in the way by not loving, by not being the vessel that God wants to use to pour his love through into someone else. Here's a true test of our faith: to love those that are different. How about this? To love those that might be antagonistic. Just to love people, to show them what love looks like. People will never know what true love looks like until they see the love of Christ in God's people. That's it. Because it's a love of God. It starts with God. It's from God. And it leads people back to God. I'll tell you what, a lot to think about, because we want to be balanced, don't we? Of course we do. Loving God with all your heart. Next time, we'll be learning to love God with all of our soul. After four sessions like this, if you can abide in the Word of God, you're going to find yourself to be very balanced in your Christian life. That's going to be a wonderful thing once we get there. Hey, this will also help you get balanced. Join the Hope Club. Go to newhoperadio.live, click on the menu bar, read all about it. You give us $3 a week, we give you a daily devotional Monday through Friday, audio devotional set to music in your email box. Great way to start the day. And don't forget, send me an email, anything I'm saying that is helping you, let me know. newhoperadio7@gmail.com. I'll see you next time.